Can I get an amen, brother?
Connect with Mickey and Chris and see if he's going to pick up.
Hello.
You want me to call him?
Yeah, go ahead and call and see if he's there.
Hello. You should change your ringtone.
That sounds odd.
Hello? 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 I love Medea.
Well, come on, Mickey.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. Hey, Mickey.
Is his real name Mickey?
One hit wonder.
No, no.
He's like the rest of us. Sorry.
Is his real name Mickey?
Yes.
You're not allowed to edit that out. Or
really?
Oh, I forgot about that. We are recording. Sorry, Mickey.
I guess Mickey's not going to join us tonight.
Well, that's...
He'll cut in right in the middle of us.
Probably. Like, hey, I'm here. Like,
okay, hang up. Come on, it's annoying.
If he calls in, I can jump in the middle. I guess I'll do which.
Tell him.
Doctor.
Oh, well.
Which? Ooh, ee, ooh,
One, one, big, big.
Oh, wow.
Tonight's theme song brought to you by Richard.
There's so much you can do with it. You got Mickey and Witch Doctor, and it's just begging to do it.
Being humans on sci-fi, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
You burned me earlier, so.
Yeah, I know.
No, no, is it on Lifetime, too? Because that would be so funny.
Premiering on Lifetime, being human. Hey, that looks like a good family. Whoa!
Can we talk now?
I don't know. Is Richard ready to start?
Everybody's ready.
Let's go.
I'm ready.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with...
Chris.
Matt.
April.
Logan.
Tonight, we are going to be reviewing Witch Doctor, the graphic novel, and Being Human on Sci-Fi Network. We're going to start off with Being Human, and Matt's going to take it away.
Being Human? How do you say that?
Being Human?
Yeah.
Being Human?
Being Human?
Yeah, exactly.
I love Being Human.
Being Human.
Humane. No, that's with an E.
Being Human is a show that airs on Sci-Fi. I believe they just finished season 3, I think.
I think so.
I think it was just season 3 is finished. And I know season 1 for sure and season 2 are out on DVD. It stars 3-4 main characters. The first one being Aiden, who in season 1, we're doing season 1.
Okay.
Aiden, who is a 100-plus-year-old vampire. I don't know if they ever really get into his age.
What kind of vampire is he? Is he the Twilight vampire, or is he the True Blood vampire?
No, he's like...
Kind of a cross between the two.
Yeah. He don't sparkle.
He doesn't. No. He doesn't sparkle.
And he's not romantic either?
But he can be in the sunlight.
Yes,
he can. Okay.
But he wears sunglasses.
Yeah, he wears sunglasses, kind of this...
In this world, almost all the vampires, except for the real old ones, can be in the sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
But the real old ones can't. Did you get
that?
Dracula couldn't.
I think I got it as that. It kind of seemed like, and he mentions once, somebody asked him about it, and he says, we've evolved.
Yeah, kind of like monkeys to people, hypothetically.
If that's your beliefs.
That's what I'm saying, hypothetically.
Hypothetically. The other three characters.
I kind of believe it.
Funny. The other three characters are Sally, who is a ghost that is haunting a house that they end up living in. Josh, who is, I'd say, a relatively new werewolf.
A ghost like Casper or...
Like
the guy
No, like pathetic, don't know I'm dead
like
ghost.
Patrick Swayze in that one movie.
Ghost.
Yeah, Ghost.
Wow.
And after a few episodes, they introduce a character who becomes Josh's love interest named Nora.
I wouldn't count her.
No
as
werewolves?
Josh.
If you would have
Josh is the later is the werewolf, but
okay, like a werewolf in Harry Potter or
dude,
like
it's a werewolf.
Like full moon changes into a werewolf. Oh, okay. That's it. Not like Underworld where you
good
can change
Lord.
It at any point in time. It's only on the full moon, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And while it's up in
yes.
the sky, or
yes.
okay, just yep. during the full moon.
Just
phase.
During the actual
right.
full moon at night.
Oh, okay.
At that place.
At that particular time, the story revolves around Josh and Aiden and Sally. Sally haunts the house that Josh and Aiden end up
moving
into and renting this house together. Aiden is trying to be human as possible. He doesn't want to be part of the vampire world.
So he's in denial.
Yes, yes, more or less.
Okay.
But he works at a hospital, so he steals blood from the hospital.
So
to
this
survive.
Was it wasn't his choice to be a or none of these people's choice to be a vampire.
I thought it was
yes,
his choice.
It was his choice. You find
yeah.
out through
okay.
he,
several flashbacks.
He
things
is
of that stuff.
A very vicious vampire.
Yeah, when
at
he
first.
Started out, he was
yeah he was
he
very
was like
vicious.
The ringleader, but. Was it when he fell in love with that one chick that he changed or like
nurse?
No, he was at a wedding and he went and killed everyone.
That was in a flashback.
But
yeah.
there was a little girl under the table or standing somewhere, and then he like felt remorse for
and
killing all those people.
He you kind of find out in this there's a vampire hierarchy, and Aiden's creator, if you want to call him that, I don't know, master, is named Bishop.
How are they made?
They never really tell you.
They never
yeah.
say their origin.
Oh, okay.
But they
Sorry.
Are made by
one
biting.
Vampire.
You have to bite, pretty much drain the blood from them, and then they receive it back from you.
I think so.
Okay. Anyway, so they have a hierarchy.
and
I didn't mean to interrupt.
Bishop is kind of the leader of Boston, and...
So they have governors and...
Something like that. There's
kinda,
a queen you find out
I
later
really,
on.
I kind of place them like as the mob.
Yeah, kind of okay. kind of like
right.
a mob, I would
That's
say
that.
That's
what I kind of think.
Vampire mob.
Because they have territories.
Yeah, they have territories, things of that stuff. The story revolves around these three, that Sally's a ghost, but she knows nothing of being a ghost.
She doesn't know she's a ghost?
She knows she's a ghost,
yeah,
but she doesn't know how to be a ghost. And she doesn't know why she's...
Dead.
Stuck here.
Okay, so she
that
has
she hasn't moved
she has
on.
This sort of purpose.
Yes.
Yeah, she has to figure
and,
out.
And she finds wrong. Out later on that when you find out your purpose of dying and being here, you get a door. Only you can go through the door. No other ghost can go through the door.
Is this like an oak door or
it just
any
it
door.
Can be it could be
a
trailer park door for all you know.
And
it just,
when you walk through it, what happens? You,
they never actually say.
Yeah.
There's a hot dog stand and ice
that
cream.
That was at the end
there
of the season,
could be.
Wasn't it?
Yeah,
was
she actually passes.
Two?
End of season one, she actually passes up her door to help.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, Aiden kill Bishop.
So
yeah.
They have a finite time there that you can walk through them.
Yep. And she passes it up to go help. Throughout the season, she learns she can leave the house. She can go
so it's not
pretty
like
much
Beetlejuice.
Any place she wants to. No.
No sandworms.
She figures out she can actually
no.
start moving things.
I got that reference.
It's funny.
Beetlejuice.
Josh is just an idiot.
I love Josh.
You find out he was engaged. He leaves the girl because he got turned into a werewolf.
And he had no.
But he has
how to
no
deal
idea
with it.
How to be a werewolf.
Does he know how he is suddenly a werewolf?
Yeah.
Yes.
He
remembers getting
attacked,
and it's a flashback.
Him and his
of
friend was at a like camping or something.
Was
and
he targeted?
No.
No.
And
it was
then
just random.
This
random
werewolf
random.
Just happened to
okay.
attack. The best friend died, and he just survived with a scratch.
So can the werewolves? Can they control themselves, or are they?
No.
No.
No. When okay. they change,
they
basically
kind of,
lose control.
It kind of is like the Harry Potter werewolf.
He ends up changing.
Professor Lupin, if you want
to
look that up.
To be in berserker mode, basically.
He ends up changing once, and he goes into their house. And Aiden leaves, and he, like, Josh, like, tears the house apart.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this, like, a totally original show, or as I've been alluding to, I've been pulling all these ideas out from other shows?
Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of original. You don't.
It's original in where they're trying to set it up as a household of these three entities living together.
Right.
Okay.
But I think
these are
from what I remember,
people coexisting together.
Right.
Well, they.
Most times when you see, you take Underworld, for instance, vampires are against werewolves. Werewolves are against vampires. Most of the movies or TV shows that you see where werewolves and vampires don't coexist very well together, that's kind of where this show's a little bit different because they do.
But
Aiden and Josh are friends and are trying to be.
Those three people are trying. Now, the other vampires, they hate the werewolves.
Yep. Relatively.
There's one where they kind of, one episode where they kind of allude to dog fighting, mm-hmm. but it's werewolves fighting.
Yeah.
And they actually do have a fight between Josh and another
older
guy.
They took Josh and he beat the dude.
You know, but the one of the things is the vampires fear werewolves when they change.
That's why they attack every single time they can.
Right. Because, and it's kind of interesting in the werewolf part of it. Because the closer it gets to the full moon, the more, I guess, wolf-like, you want to say, Josh becomes. He gets enhanced strength, smell, vision, hearing.
Do they try to romance each other?
Not each other. They connect.
No, I want to know, basically, you haven't really said, these people are just out to coexist with each other and...
Josh and Aiden are trying to be as human as possible, as normal as possible.
Okay, and then they have problems with that. And
oh,
that's what the show's about.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, it's the problems
like the struggles.
They have with that.
How are they going to end that?
I don't know. Aiden trying to be out of the vampire regime, as you want to call it, and always getting sucked back into it. Josh just trying to be as normal as possible. He ends up dating Nora. He ends up actually knocking Nora up.
It was so funny.
And
Nora
hilarious.
is
she's a human. She's a doctor at work. Aiden and Josh both work at a hospital. He meets her there. Josh does. And they end up having kind of a romantic... Okay, they have an one-time encounter where she gets pregnant.
That sucks. Anyway.
And it was in the closet of the hospital. It's in one of the closets.
Yeah, it's actually
wow,
quite humorous.
Romantic.
And, I know,
and,
right?
It's, and it's when he's about to change into a werewolf.
Okay. So pregnant with a... baby
she
puppy?
Ends up
is she pregnant
they
with
never
puppies?
Actually well, they never actually say but okay. She ends up having some complications
because it started growing
losing.
Faster
okay.
Yeah
than
she
what
was
a normal baby should
it, but she ends up losing the baby and it's towards the end of
I think it's in two
is it two
yeah,
or
that's
is it
two.
One
because at the end of the season one she just you kind of see that she's been scratched
right she ends up getting scratched by Josh. Because they have, you know, he's trying to keep her away from that. No, he's trying to keep her away.
Oh, okay.
From keeping her at a distance while still trying to have this romantic relationship with her. And it's just hilarious because he says all the wrong things at
all the wrong times.
So he's typical guy.
Just, no, he's
many,
just
many
stupid.
People will be able to relate to him.
I like
you know,
Josh, though.
I remember the episode where Nora comes up and says, hey, I'm pregnant. And Josh goes, is it mine? And he's like, wait, yeah. And later he's talking with Aiden. He goes, you know that question you shouldn't ask a woman when she tells you she's pregnant? You didn't ask that. He goes, yes, I did. I'm sorry. He's like, you know.
Oh, well.
But pretty much everything
oh.
Josh learns, too.
How old are these
Aiden.
People?
20s?
Like said Aiden is probably past 100.
He's past
well,
100, but they never really.
You know, you've got to put it in.
But he looks 20.
No.
Yes.
I want to know how
20,
old they 30 actually
something.
Have take. I want to know how many trips they've taken
okay.
around the sun.
Aiden's over 100.
Because
but they never
he looks
really
in
say.
The
20s. He wasn't an adult during the Civil War.
Okay.
Because that's when he fought.
Was
or was
Civil
it the
War?
Revolutionary War?
Ooh,
it just alludes
it's
one
older.
Of those wars. He's,
yeah.
He's one to.
He
two,
was an adult.
He's 200.
Who had a
one 200
son
years old somewhere.
And a wife then. So you got to know he's older than. He predates. One of those wars.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Sally was, early 20s, mid-20s,
yeah,
somewhere in there, when she died.
I think she was just out of college.
Or in college. She's not very old. She was engaged
right
to a guy
that
lived in this house.
So she
her.
Hasn't been a ghost very long?
No.
Okay.
And Josh is...
Like
20-something.
25?
24. 25.
Yeah.
They're all about the same, like early 20s, mid-20s.
We don't want like a 70-year-old and a 9-year-old. That'd just be weird.
Yeah, they're not really old. I mean, they're in their mid-20s somewhere.
So as well as getting used to their conditions, except for Aiden, they're also going through these, well, Joss especially, the trappings of being a young adult.
Exactly. And like I said, Josh just screws everything up.
I love Josh. He's funny. But I hate his sister.
I kind of like Aiden. He was more my character in that because he's wise enough to know what he wants to do. He just gets sucked into that vampire thing, though he wants to be human as much as possible.
Now, does he have to feed?
Yes. He steals blood from the hospital, from their blood bank, and How drinks handy. It.
Or he goes to the vampire
bar. He works
bar.
There? He's a nurse?
Yeah, there's vampire bars where you can just go.
So there is a True Blood somewhere in this show.
If they put this on HBO or Showtime, I think it would probably be in that vein.
Yeah.
Because
they
allude to that aspect. It's
Now, is this more
it's
drama?
It's like almost a strip club atmosphere.
Or comedy.
And they go into like their little sections and they
drama.
Drink there.
It's hilarious. But yes, it's kind of a drama and comedy.
Yeah.
Because there's comedic part. There's comedic parts in it where it's just funny. And then there's...
I think there's more dramatic parts.
There is.
Yeah.
And I think they throw that humor in
just to
keep it
light. Just to lighten
the mood. Yeah, to lighten the mood and keep it, you know, kind of funny and keep him interested where it's not just a...
Is it sort of a dry humor or can you, without knowing what a vampire, werewolf, or ghost is, will you get the joke?
I think you've got to get a bit...
I think you just have to be human to get most of the joke.
Well,
like, do ghosts fart? Sorry.
Not that I remember.
Not for sure. I don't know. But I think you have to be a bit older to get the jokes, too. Like with what you said that joke about how Josh is he mine? Like,
is it mine?
I don't expect like a tween or a younger than that to
I,
get
I
that
I don't
joke
know if I'd
all.
Let my tween watch it.
Yeah.
But it is on a family. It, what station?
It's on Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.
Oh, okay.
And I wouldn't really call that family.
Is it on 8 or 9 Central?
8, 9.
I can't remember. It's either 8
oh,
or
man,
9.
Oh, man, I can't remember either.
Yeah, I think it's 9. But
not the prime time
I think
6,
it's
7 8. Slot. It's the later hours.
It's 8 o'clock because my son was just getting out of Boy Scouts.
And you missed that episode.
And I would miss like the first 10 minutes if I didn't record it.
Well, for me, I did not like the show at first because I thought the characters were wimpy. Especially Josh and the ghost.
That's what I get.
Aiden was the only one that was strong.
Yeah, that had anything.
And throughout the progression of the first season and into the next, I'm assuming, Josh and Sally?
Yeah.
Is that the ghost? Yeah. They kind of mature. You see them maturing and it gets better, but it's like
Sally
Matt said.
Sally gets freaky.
Yeah, Sally gets a little, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Josh. Isn't it season one where she gets halfway exercised?
Yeah, she gets... Mm-hmm. Because
and
okay,
she looks.
Can
like
we explain this?
Scary.
Okay, no,
Josh
I'm
is
gonna
like,
explain this.
She looks like she could eat our entrails.
No, okay, because obviously Josh and Aiden wouldn't bring in a freaking exorcist.
No,
so you guys need to explain this.
Okay,
okay, but the person they're renting from is her fiance that's still alive, but those two, Josh and Aiden, are the only ones that can see Sally.
Ah, okay.
Or the supernatural can see the supernatural.
Yeah,
right.
Well, so normal people can't.
Well,
and
Sally
so
doesn't know that they're a vampire or werewolf till they explain it. Or no, she says about it.
The ghost aspect, it's you have to have some type of supernatural abilities to see ghosts.
Right.
Yeah.
Because one of Sally's friends has a little bit, but she can only hear Sally.
Or work for the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But
go ahead, April.
So, and all this stuff is happening because she's trying to like let him know that she's there. And so it somehow, and then he does kind of figure out Sally's there, but he's like, don't mess with me, beep.
Well,
I'm going to break you down, and he brings in an exorcist.
Well, you have to understand what it was you find out through the course of the show that he's the one who killed Sally.
Dun, dun, dun.
He pushed her down the stairs in kind of an argument with her.
She
figures that out. She knows she's dead, but she didn't really know how she died.
Yeah.
She figures that out, and her fiance ends up dating her friend and wants to prevent him from killing her in a fit of rage. So she starts haunting them. Well, he figures out it's her, goes to exorcise her, and yeah, it backfires.
But see, he's not a wimpy character, though. Like, he has like a double personality where he's either real nice to the guys or he's like completely douche.
To her.
To
the
her.
Girls.
Like,
yeah. So it's kind of, they intermix those three kind of stories together then that, you know, Aiden's not supposed to be hanging out with a werewolf and they have a ghost as a best friend. who makes lewd comments about what they do.
And the first episode is dropping you in on Aiden and Josh when they're just renting or moving into the
apartment. When they first try to find the house.
And then Sally's introduced. Through the backstory or flashbacks, that's where I started getting interested into the characters because it's like, okay, now I can kind of relate to these people.
I think of it, like, I just think of it as a history lesson.
So for me, it was hard to get into at first until about the third or fourth episode.
It's that typical character building that you have to have in those first several episodes to really get it to where you can have a story.
I think the only reason it wasn't my favorite show and like the first episode or so was because of that stupid redhead. That
you just didn't like her that Aiden kills in the beginning.
Like opinionated.
Like if I don't like a person, I won't watch the show.
For one character?
But that's the point, you know? Yeah. Those shows want you to hate certain people in the show.
Well, not right off the bat.
No.
It's the...
And you know what? That happened to me on Fallen Skies. So what
happened?
I understand that.
Yeah.
What was that girl's name? I can't remember what it was, but she worked at the hospital with Aiden. Her and Aiden apparently had gone on a date, and Aiden went, oh, I'm kind of hungry, in the middle of an act, and
bit her
and killed her.
Drank her. And
and then Bishop, he ends up calling Bishop and says, hey, I need a cleanup.
To get rid of the body.
To get rid of the body. He comes in and turns her into a vampire, and there's some episodes with her.
But
and
see, Aiden doesn't know that until...
A couple more episodes.
Yeah.
So. Which is funny when she pins Josh against the wall and goes to eat him, goes to bite him.
She's like, oh, you smell like
dog. And she goes, you smell like what dog? You're a werewolf. He's like, how do you? Never mind. And they kind of get into a little fight.
I don't know. It's like,
over it,
I just hate her. Like, she tries to act like she's all hot when she's not. And she thinks she's everything.
It's one of those shows where it's not a teen drama, but it's not a soap opera type deal either. It's kind of somewhere in between.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can equivalent it to Dark Shadows because I've never seen those, so I couldn't say one way or the other because I know that was a paranormal soap opera back in the 60s.
60s or 70s, something like that.
So I can't say if there's any correlation between them, if they're similar or not, but it does have that feel of a little bit of a soap opera feel at times. But then...
Who's in bed with who?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I know in one of the seasons, and I'm pretty sure it's not season one, that Aiden ends up dating Josh's ex-fiance.
That's awkward.
Yeah.
That's a
no. Yeah, it gets a little awkward, you know.
Even I know the bro code enough that's no.
I enjoyed it. I enjoy it. I got my wife addicted to it after about two or three episodes. You know, it took that many for her to get into it.
Same with Michelle with us.
No.
She didn't like it, but then April and I started watching it, and then she came in probably about three episodes in.
Yeah, four.
And then she decided she wanted to watch it.
Which I told her, like, no. Like, okay, in my house, if mom or dad don't like a show, we don't watch that show, no matter who else likes it.
Of course, they're the parents.
I miss so many good shows.
You can always check them out at the library. More times than not.
Speaking of,
would you buy
this for the library?
Yes.
I have.
I would say, yeah,
this would be a popular one.
It would be. If they kind of like the True Blood, I'm trying to think of some.
Sounds like there's not enough action for True Blood.
True Blood Light.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, more. It's okay. Somewhat. It's not really. I mean, there are some fights. There is some blood.
Dismemberment.
He does cut off Bishop's head.
I think, again, everything comes down to where you're at with your kids and their maturity level. But even as a teenager, there's a few scenes, like the one that Matt was describing about the two in the orderly room.
Nope.
Doing an
nope.
act.
Oh,
it's
gotcha.
Kinda like,
okay.
He just kind of...
That's kind of... Okay, we need to fast forward through this. But,
well, honestly, it lasted about 5 seconds.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't get to see it.
Yeah, we did. We didn't fast forward that part.
It doesn't. Oh. I mean, it doesn't show anything. It just kind of shows him,
you know,
turning her around, bending her over, dropping her pants, and
that's
kind of the end of the scene.
Yeah. So they like.
But it's one of those that if you know, if you're wanting to watch what the kids are watching, I would say you'd probably want to watch this by yourself
without the kids.
Without the.
It depends. I wouldn't say anybody under
14-ish.
Yeah, I was going to go 16-ish.
Really.
It depends on the maturity level of your children.
I started watching this when I was 13.
It depends on the maturity level of your children.
No, you were already 14.
No, I was 13 when it aired.
Oh, we never watched it while it was airing, so I couldn't tell you that.
I can watch it on Hulu.
But it depends
this
on the maturity.
This commercial brought to you by Comic Pop Library.
Free plug, free plug.
Ooh. Free plug. I would say, you know, that older, definitely not tween, but 14, 15, 16 age, maybe start, depending on where your kids are at. And what you want them to watch at that
so
age.
So don't show boys
you.
It.
I would say 14 like for most of it, but there are scenes in it where you're kind of like, maybe not. This kind of needs to be a little older. I mean, Michelle and I were at times uncomfortable. We're like, well, maybe that we didn't realize that was going to be in here. So I can see where Matt's coming
are
out
those
to 16.
Scenes did, you necessary?
Did you reach over and cover your daughter's eyes?
No, she was on the other side of the room.
Are those... Are those scenes in the show necessary for the storyline?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
They are definitely a part of the storyline.
The one we're mentioning so much about, it was one where she was complaining to this guy about being so weak, so wimpy. He needed to show more strength and decision-making, and he was starting to turn.
Which makes him more aggressive. Anyway.
So he
more
made a decision.
And
yep.
He made a decision. They went into the room, had their act. During that, of course, Matt said she did become pregnant. But at the same time, was that when she was scratched at the same time? Or was that later on?
That was
later
at like
on.
The end of season one, I do believe.
So it does have a play in the story, of course, with the pregnancy and with the
kind of them sticking together and really trying to start a relationship and him trying to be more human.
Does this show seem to center itself? Does it give more time towards any one or two characters?
Yes. The first season, I believe, focused more on Aiden. But
I think they each had their own episode.
Yeah.
They pretty much had their own. It's more Aiden and Josh kind of in the first several episodes is Sally. Because she doesn't have... She's more of... Because she doesn't know she can leave. I know they find a ghost and bring it to Sally, and he teaches her how to get out of the house and do
stuff.
Some different stuff. And
how did they do that?
They found a ghost.
They just said, "Hey, come here,
from, like,
I'm going to kill you."
Who was from like the
I'll
80s
pay you
or
well.
Something?
Yeah, he was like the
he had like a mullet,
like the
eyeliner.
Bon Jovi.
It was great,
and it's got its funny moments, like Matt said, and serious moments.
Yeah,
and there's some pretty serious. Oh. It's not. Serious as in bad or anything like that, but serious as in making you stop and think.
Like you're going to die.
Know, we had, like you said, we had the almost like spousal abuse. We have animal abuse to a degree with the two werewolves fighting.
Yeah.
Murder.
We had one. Well, murder, of course. We have one where we talked about this redhead that got turned into a vampire. She wanted to impress Aiden, and she turned a little kid. And it was
that
him.
Child abuse?
And he had to make a decision because children tend to become berserkers.
They can't control their urges.
So if anybody's turned, they kill them automatically. And they try for the whole episode to keep this kid and see if he will kind of
work out.
And at the end of the episode, Aiden takes him out to a field. And the last scene is you don't see him, but you see Aiden reaching around just making a slashing motion. And you hear the sounds and stuff. And he basically killed the boy. And it was not Aiden wanting to do that because he was in tears, basically, because he was already dead. It was bringing him pain to do this. Right. So that right there is an aspect, and there's several.
Yeah, there's like several scenes like that.
So that's why I say 14 for some scenes, but then others, you want it to be, you're kind of leery. And this has happened a few times where we let the kids start watching something. Kids are like, oh, it's sci-fi. It won't be too bad. And then it's, okay. It's already showing. You can't take it back. So this is one where parents might want to watch first and make a decision on where.
Most sci-fi has content in it that isn't.
Yeah, but I think of SG-1.
Okay, well.
Yeah.
Not the Showtime versions, but the
sci-fi not the
ones.
First season.
Yeah, not the first season.
SG-1's more of a action film
Farscape.
Than it is.
I think of Farscapes. I think, you know, stuff like that. They don't have the sexual content.
Space technology sci-fi.
They alluded to it in Farscape.
But they never, in the later seasons, I guess, 3 and 4. So
it's a good series, and like I said, True Blood light, maybe, you know, if you're kind of into the werewolf, vampire, ghost thing,
you'll love it.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting season.
Like I said, it might take a few episodes, like it did for me, but stick with it if it does, and you'll like it.
Be patient, and it'll pay off.
I think so.
We haven't even talked about Josh's sister.
She's only in a few episodes.
I don't like her either.
Got to talk about the people she don't like.
Can't talk about the character she likes. I gotta
warn the people that are listening to this that, hey, you might not like these people. So
yeah, but she's only in a few episodes, so it's not really. I said it's the three main characters.
She's
that you
a brat.
Kind of have to be engrossed with, I guess you want to say. I liked it. It was good.
And now let's pause for a short break.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land. So, why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
Yes, we are back. We are now going to review Witch Doctor Volume 1, Under the Knife, written by Brandon Seifert, art by Lucas Kittner. To just generalize this real fast up front, and then we'll get into it in depth. If you love H.P. Lovecraft, this graphic novel will be for
you.
This is one that will be very appealing to them.
But it has a lot of big words that I kind of skim.
It did have some big words.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were some in there that had four letters in it.
Hey. I read at a college reading level since sixth grade, boy.
Hey, hospital has.
Girl.
Boy, the standards have really come down.
Okay.
Hey, comfortable has 11 letters.
Ding. Wonderful. Let me be. I am smart. You're just jealous.
But this is a collection of a 5-issue miniseries, and it's going to be having a second miniseries here shortly that will, I'm sure, definitely be collected again. It's put out by Logan, check on this for me. It's put out by Image Comics, I believe.
Yep.
Yes, Image Comics. Thank you, Logan. And the lead characters, we have the main character is Dr. Vincent Morrow. Bone Morrow.
Bone Morrow.
So
I didn't catch that.
Neither did I. So,
he's basically a witch doctor of the supernatural infections, I guess you would call it. He's a genius at what he does.
Yeah, he's a supernatural surgeon.
True. He basically cuts them up and goes to town.
Yep.
But he can't do it without his knife, his particular
true.
Like Excalibur?
Yeah, yes. Something like that.
That's the name of it.
His surgical tool is a sword, and it's
called Excalibur.
And it is Excalibur.
And it was in stone, and he was the only one that could pull it out.
Right.
So he's king.
He's King Arthur.
He's the one that can save the universe.
Yep, and so that's what he says.
He's like, so suck it, and then go do what I do.
He acts like it's no big thing.
Yeah.
Well,
like he has this I don't give a crap attitude.
Yes. Well, he's at that level of genius where he's bored with everything, and he wants to experience stuff that is always new. Because within the stories, he's always excited about it, something new.
Yeah.
So
I think he reminds me of Sherlock Holmes.
Well, I mean, he's there very sarcastic.
Yeah. Because he's got that... was he an EMT?
He does have an EMT. Was the
sidekick? This is his sidekick.
That is Eric Gast.
He's a real big EMT.
He's a Gast.
And I have that in here. If Morrow's is Holmes, Gast is the Watson.
Yep.
I have that in my notes.
He's sort of the serious one.
But you're
right. He's newly hired. He was a nurse, a med nurse.
Threatens to quit.
Yeah, threatens to quit all the time. With good reason. He is chased by all these different monsters.
And he's never told anything unless he like forces him to tell him.
True.
Okay, let Richard do his interview.
This is so bad right now.
Oh, God.
There's also the...
Was that
Demon
Napoleon?
Eater.
I can't do it very well, so sorry. What, Logan?
There's also the Demon Eater, Penny Dreadful.
Right, there's Penny Dreadful, which most people... bell, but I cannot.
She's a bee. She's got stingers.
True, and it's one.
I was trying to figure out what Penny was or is.
She's a person, but she's.
I think she's a
half breed.
Yeah, I think she's a little bit. She's one of the assistants. Has definitely supernatural abilities. Like you said, she eats monsters. What she does.
She eats them. She is
poops them.
No.
I don't know.
She's also an anesthetic.
Anesthesiologist.
Anesthesiologist. There you go.
Yeah, she sticks them with that
and
her hand. Yeah, and she has an exoskeleton.
Yeah, and she has like a.
And she has a guilty conscience about eating monsters.
She has. She has a split personality.
There's a great team.
Because at like one page or so, it was about her, and like one half of her saying, "Kill the doctor, you know, eat him, he'll taste so good."
Her conscience.
And then
with herself.
The other good side of her was like, no, because he's feeding us, and he said he would kill us and all that if we didn't obey.
She's constantly in battle with herself.
Like it's more like the cautious, he might kill us if we try side of her.
I know, that's what I'm saying, like, you know.
Not really good, but scary.
I kind of found some of it humorous and interesting curiosity and the other part of it of what was happening and going on and all that, but
well, this is when we kind of themed this episode around the supernatural
for Halloween.
Be released in October.
We should have dressed up, man.
Nobody would see us.
Oh, I forgot to decorate.
Where's my mustache when you need it?
But the artwork.
Oh, you must have shaved.
Oh, no. We got a chick in Lakin that does have a mustache, so.
Okay, back to the subject.
But the way that...
she can grow a beard, too.
We're having fun tonight, everybody. Kettner, the way he does his artwork, it's kind of gritty and dirty. It's not clean and pretty or anything
but
like
when
that,
he
but
first drawing the sketches, it was clean.
True, because but when they started putting in the inks and everything, and it's...
No, because when he was... I liked reading the back and looking at the pictures and, like, the stages of how the characters were developed and once I'm done with it. And it was talking about how he toured with different ideas of the Doctor's look.
Yeah.
He toured with a nicer one and, like, a...
True.
And it kind of formed to get grittier as it went. And then it happened to land
and
on
it
the
fits
final
the story.
Plot.
I mean, it is a horror comic. Mm-hmm. It's pure, simple. It's a horror comic.
I don't think it's that scary, though.
It's not.
It's not,
and
but
horror
because
comics,
of the
comics,
the
more
creatures.
Detail, the better.
True.
Yeah,
and this one shows it'll be one of those that it's an older team because it has a lot of blood and guts in it.
Uh-huh.
They don't, like Chris said, the more detail it's got that in there.
Yeah,
in the first chapter is about a boy that's being possessed, and the only way he can save him is basically imprison him in his own house.
Yep,
it's a magic
bubble boy
charm,
yeah,
more or less. Yeah, consisted of bubble boy, a magic charm because he couldn't figure out how to kill the monster.
Right.
That was
so it's his
infested,
put him on ice until we
puts
can
it in his
out
garden or something like that, clear around his house.
Yeah.
It's all around the house.
Yeah, these so magic charms.
If the boy doesn't leave that area, he's fine. But if he goes outside, the infection will
It's because he didn't know how to get rid of the monster.
That's right.
Yeah,
right.
So
and
he
that
said,
one
so I'll get back to you on it.
I'm willing to bet we're going to see
tight.
This kid again in another
Probably.
Future episode.
Yeah.
Another one.
Umbrella.
A magic umbrella.
That's what it is.
True.
Yeah.
Another story has him dealing with fairies. That's a cuckoo. And she steals babies and replaces them with
that was
with
an
a
ugly
glamour
butt baby.
That the reader sees it and it's ugly, but the parents of the baby actually see a
nice baby.
Nice baby.
They've been
but
charmed.
Doctor, right,
yeah.
They've been charmed. But Dr. Morrow can go in. He sees that it's
right.
A manifestation of this fairy.
So he's got abilities as well.
True. Not just the sword, but
right.
His sword is the main one. That's how he pretty much
and
kills all the
kills
infections.
And he doesn't
and
have a lot of magical abilities, but he makes pills that
it,
gives
his,
him
instead
abilities.
Of casting spells, he makes pills.
He's a chemist. He's
a spell.
Pharmaceutical chemist.
Sleeping pill, instead of putting him to sleep when he eats it, he eats one, points at something, says sleep. It falls asleep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and you know what?
With that.
The fairy that's in this does not match my idea of fairies in anything else.
It depends on where
it's
you go for your references.
Not a pretty fairy, like
yeah, it's not the pretty
American,
fairies.
American
yeah,
fairies.
It's the uglier,
like Tinkerbell.
No,
Grimm.
It's not that one. Yeah, think of Grimm's. I can't think of the resource that it is, but the fairies when they first came
is this
out.
A Japanese?
No. This mm-hmm. is American.
Is it American? Okay.
The fairies are based more of the traditional Irish. What is it? City?
Okay.
Evil.
City? The city, I think is what they're
right.
called.
Right. The opposite
evil.
Of the leprechauns
right,
or
evil
whatever.
Yeah, leprechauns.
Right.
Evil, nasty,
mean.
Ugly, mean.
I did a Book of the Month podcast on that, on the leprechauns. I forget.
Leprechauns?
I forget. It might have been this spring that we did that on.
Was it jolly good?
Oh, it was
oh,
a
good lord.
Yeah. We did a river dance.
Wow.
Did a river dance. All right. Woo-hoo. We'll have anyway. To reprise that. Next Come on, Chris. Another, reprise that real fast.
Next spring, do a rain dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Please. We've already mentioned the sword. It basically turned out to be Excalibur. You can't. What was it?
Describe the sword because it doesn't look like your typical sword.
No, it's kind of beat up.
It's kind of beat up.
It's
it
a
had
crystal
a red
sword.
I thought it looked like it had an eyeball in it.
Yeah. It was a crystal sword.
At one point, he gives it to his sidekick. What was his name?
Cast.
Cast. And
Eric
tells him to go.
Gast.
Gast. Oh, okay.
Go kill these creatures that were attacking
but
him.
But he can't.
And he said, don't just slash. Don't stab anybody because if you do, it'll act like the sword in a stone. And he ends up stabbing some dude with it and it gets stuck.
Yeah.
And he's
until
trying
the
to pull it
doctor
out.
Can come
so
back
yeah. anybody, once it's out, anybody can use it, but only slashing.
Yep.
And
you can't
only
stab with
only
it.
The doctor can stab and slash and do all this right. other stuff.
And it's supposed to be cut. It can cut through anything, but he has to teach it how to
before
cut through something. I know. He bashes which, some. Mom, is he bashing the fairy with it?
It's the fairy in yeah. the second story where he just constantly just bashing and bashing and bashing.
And the dude's like, dude, it was
finally
like,
it figures out how to kill it. By bashing it.
That's like that's kind of retarded. Like you got to teach your sword how to be a sword.
That's part
but
of the humor,
not.
Though. It's dark humor.
Well, there's a sword just like that in Harry Potter, the Sword of Gryffindor. It takes on the ability of whatever it. For instance, they stab the basilisk with it in episode 2.
The what?
Basilisk.
That does
giant
not
snake.
Help me.
Giant
it brings
thank
on.
Thank you.
It, big snake.
Good lord.
Giant petrifying
it takes,
snake.
It takes on the attributes of the poison that was in the basilisk and therefore would destroy Voldemort.
Yeah.
And it,
yeah.
Not,
yeah it, it's kind of like
it's
the sword.
Similar.
The sword. Yeah.
So
has
does
to learn.
The big spider right. have a name?
Not a big Harry Potter fan.
What's
I've
that?
Read
the,
him, but
the big
I don't
spider.
It
I
does,
can't remember.
But I can't remember what it is.
Doesn't matter.
Aragog.
All right.
I'm good.
Woo!
The next chapter deals with basically Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I hated that one because I think anything from the Black Lagoon type horror is just really boring and stupid.
Fish and, people.
Yeah.
And this is the
much.
One where we find out, like April and Logan were talking about with Penny, that she comes in and she's hungry. And the doctor's telling her, no, you can't eat right now. You
I'll
can't
feed you
right
later.
Now. And they get separated.
Defrost
and
some vampires for you.
Yeah, defrost vampires for you. That's what he does. But they get separated and they send Penny in there.
She's watching it,
I
think.
Eric goes in and she's munching on a creature. And Eric comes back into the doctor and goes like, is that normal? And
yeah, like what's
Mara's
up?
Mara's like, yeah, that's what she does. Basically.
That's her
he's like,
thing.
Stop eating the patient.
She looks up and says, oh, sorry.
And he said, stop eating the patient.
And the last few deal with the council, almost like a wizard council.
Honestly, the council.
Because he's in trouble.
Right.
The council guys reminded me of the Crypt Keepers
he gets
stories.
He gets in trouble for.
That's a good anthology because there
really
was Tales
did.
From the Crypt, The Vault, and something else by EC Comics. I can't remember now.
I don't know, but the Crypt Keepers is
yeah, like yeah, you're right.
The council reminds me of that so much. Not in the humor sense of it, but like just the feel of
the way they look and act.
Look
yeah.
And just
that's where
them.
We kind of find out more about they're trying to punish the doctor, but
because he's got too much power,
the sword and
how
the power,
can
he
they?
Can basically just say, "Go screw yourself. I'm doing it my way anyway."
Yeah, they threaten to take away his license.
I
know.
He's like, okay.
I never knew I had one. Like,
no, he knew he had one.
That's when you figure out. The sword is actually Excalibur in that chapter.
Yeah, he's
chapter.
Like,
because he stabs it into the desk and says, anybody else who can pull the sword out can do what I'm doing.
And he said,
I've been chosen by the universe to save us.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
Yeah. Like, go suck it. I'm going to go do my thing.
Exactly. Well, exactly what he says.
I've been chosen by the black boxing universe.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Say that one more time.
What?
Black box.
See?
The black. Oh, the black box.
Yeah, they black out the word where he says
the choice word. Yeah.
There's a couple of those in there that they you know what it says, but they take out the word
just for
and why do they do that? Just to give it more of a like.
Well,
I think it makes it funnier.
Well, a lower
they will either black the word out or they will use the symbols. Like
right.
the hat symbol.
Yeah, isn't it so younger people can read it too?
Right,
It's yeah. So for the younger, for the on. That's what I was figuring. It's for the.
But you know, they get around that sometimes by
okay, wait
the
second.
At symbol dollar sign dollar sign.
Oh, I wonder what that is.
Who is there? Like a rating company that rates comics for certain?
They regulate themselves. There used to be a Comics Code Authority, but as of last part, it was either last part of last year or first part of this year. Archie Comics was the last one that followed that.
Oh, Archie.
And they dropped it as well. So there's no
Archie
comic
doesn't
books.
Need guidelines. Anyone can read
well,
that.
Well, the Comic Code Authority was a stamp that was on the cover so parents would know that your kids could read this.
Like what's on in games.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now what the companies are doing is they're putting a rating, either mature, teen, teen plus.
Like games are doing now.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's a self-regulating industry, just like the movie industry.
So what if, like,
industry.
Someone made a, like, whatever that's called, Witch Doctor, and they, like, said it was, what's, is it,
I don't know.
Come on, put your thoughts together.
What's E?
E, everyone?
Yeah.
E for everyone?
Whew, I'm sorry, I'm not a game person. I was trying to think of the symbols for it, like.
E for everyone.
Yeah.
Logan, look on the back of that and see if it gives an age range.
T plus.
So that's considered 16.
See, I was thinking,
older.
What if they put that as E? Because I would do that just to screw with people. Like I would.
That
do
is
that.
Why you're not a publisher.
I would do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I would do that.
Even though it's a self-regulating industry, there are people watching them. There are watchdog groups out there that if something slips through, they're going to latch on it and take it to town. The comic industry already went through a black period in the 50s where I mentioned the EC Comics, which was a horror comics that basically destroyed that company, all the true crimes, because they were writing, and they had some pretty gruesome stuff in it, and the parents and Dr. Wortham, Frederick Wortham, did a Senate investigation and pretty much said, this is causing juvenile delinquency, yada, yada, yada. So it went through all that, and that's how the Comics Code Authority got created. Now it's evolved, and that, like I said, was in the 50s.
So
now
much for
here.
Freedom of speech.
Yeah. So, but we've evolved so far. Comic books are now considered more for young adults, kind of like the higher teens, 20s, 40s, because the kids that grew up over them are in their 30s and 40s now. So
you know, every time you say EC, I just like zone out and think of R.L. Stein.
Who? What's say that?
Wow,
again?
That's nice.
When
Thank you
said,
for telling us that.
When you say EC.
EC.
Yes, that's why I said EC.
Oh, okay.
I like zone out and think of R.L. Stein.
It was kind of fun. Funny because it stood for educational comics because they were educational comic first. And then they dropped that and just called themselves
well,
EC.
You've got to think.
How does EC turn into R.L.?
I don't because I don't it's two letters and RL is two and I didn't know what EC was.
Not AB.
No, I thought
wow.
Not CD.
No, you've
got
to think. I don't know what EC is. I thought it was somebody's initials, like somebody that they put for their
know,
author's
the
name.
Companies kind of like DC
See,
Comics.
I don't know
EC
that.
Comics.
I'm not a comic person
William
either.
William Gaines was the.
So I think
of
somebody.
You're not a comic person. You live in the same house as the person sitting next to you.
Nope, she's not.
No.
Wow.
And Logan's not as versed in.
I've
American
rejected
comics,
that
like
life.
Well, okay. Back to Witch Doctor.
By the way, I liked Witch Doctor's twist on what vampires are.
Yeah, that's what I was.
That's the last
talk next.
Episode.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you want to mention
or last
it,
year.
No,
Chris.
Go ahead.
No, go.
I'm not taking your review.
Go.
I always take yours.
Mute button on Chris.
If you think about it, Penny is pretty adorable.
Penny is adorable.
I love Penny. She's just like the cutest little thing ever.
You'll have to remind me because I might get some of this wrong, but they are basically the vampires in this series is parasites.
It's a mouth monster.
Yeah, mouth.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
That's what they call it, a parasitoid, because they kill the host.
Chris's mouth monster.
It's a mouth monster. It resides in the mouth, and when it seeks blood, it dumps berserker hormones in your body to go and.
Right. It actually, as Logan alluded or said, it kills the host. Takes basically over the host, and it can live without the host, but the host can't live without it.
Yep.
Right.
So there's no way to cure.
There's no way to save that exorcism.
So just kill it.
It occupies the digestive tract. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it does.
Penny broke her hand.
But this is one definitely that people that love H.P. Lovecraft, the creatures are definitely modeled after the H.P. Lovecraftian style. The big creatures with the. Some of them have the tentacles.
Lots of tentacles.
The creature from the Black Lagoon is more bigger and more, I don't know. It looks more like a creature than what the Universals did. You can kind of tell it was more human, where this one was more fish. They called them mer people in this one, I think.
Yeah, like mermaids.
Something like that.
That's what they called them in Harry Potter. Mer people.
Mer people. So it's...
They got that idea from mermaids and mermen.
Mermaids and mermen?
Yeah, mer people.
True.
Mermaid but, man.
So if your library has a collection of horror... And you have H.P. Lovecraft in there. This would be one. If you could slip by the comics, because some libraries I know kind of put like stuff with like stuff. But if you just have your comic collection, just slip it in there. Definitely direct your H.P. Lovecraftian fans to this comic. I think they
would enjoy it. Is that a novel or a comic?
The H.P. Lovecrafts are novels.
Okay, thank you.
We have a few in our library because they started reprinting them.
I don't usually get books out of our library.
I know.
It was...
Wow.
I reject... No, I think it's weird.
I reject your library. So no, do my own.
I hate checking out of our library because Dad, is there watching me check it out?
I know what you're checking out. You can't read that.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want him, looking over my shoulder at what I'm looking at.
You can't watch that. You can't read that. I won't let you. I enjoyed it. It was an interesting story.
They go to the comic hospital. to get surgery.
Definitely, like Richard said, if you got horror, comics, graphic novels in your library, it's a good fit into those. I enjoyed it. I'm not a horror fan.
I don't like horror movies, but I did like the horror graphic novel.
Interesting.
Because, and I'll tell you, sound makes all the difference in a movie.
Yes, it does.
Hear all the screams and the...
No, it's not the screams. It's the liquid. Boy, that's going to sound great.
And with that, we'd like to thank Music Alley for providing our intro and outro. We'll find something on there to do this with.
We hope. Of course, we might randomly get Halloween tracks from somewhere, too.
Music Alley, it's one of those that it has a wide variety of stuff. I'm positive I
Scooby-Doo
can find
theme.
I don't know about that one, but we can definitely find a Halloween track on there somewhere from one of the artists. But
probably.
You can pretty much find anywhere from pop to avant-garde to instrumental.
What are we talking about?
So if you're interested in...
All right, thank you.
You just interrupted him.
Yes.
Good job.
I was adoring Penny, so yes. I was distracted.
So if you're interested
Go back to sleep.
If you're interested in music, go to musicalley.com. Check them out. Their tracks are 99 cents a piece. Download some. I'm sure you'll find something you like. And with that, that ends this episode. Our next one, we are going to be reviewing the album by 660 and the book Stranger in a Strange Land by by Robert Heinlein. Until next time, thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Farmhouse, porch light. Let's go inside and stay for the night. Come see what I found. It's a big agent book where the words move around. Just then, the old man flailing around with a knife in his hands. Outside, the best part. Never would have guessed that the car wouldn't start. Now I want to see some vampires. I want to see the girl chase.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any comic book publisher or distributor and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show host are their own and are not reflective of any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.